97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, happy Thursday to you, and guess what? You have got a cool start to your morning out there. Don't be like Mark. Like, I'm somebody who listens to this radio station constantly. If I'm in the car, and if I'm not sometimes on the Odyssey app, I'm listening to our programming all the time, right? I sit here and I listen to it in my ear 4 hours a day, and during those 4 hours, we run the Dave Murray weather forecast repeatedly.
At least once an hour.
And it goes in one ear and out the other. Because for some reason, I thought it was going to be as warm out this morning as it was yesterday morning. So I wore short sleeves because it was 60 degrees yesterday
morning. But you're kind of fall, kind of summer. Because yes, you have short sleeves on, but then you also have a sweater,
well,
like a vest.
I grabbed the vest on the way out the door thinking, well, maybe it'll be a little cooler than it was yesterday. But I walked out the door and it was 40. When I got in my truck. So I decided, yeah, I underestimated the weather a little bit today. Just to warn you, you're probably going to need a light jacket at least to start the day out.
Why is that? I remember even reporting for Channel 4, I would hear the forecast over and over. Oh. And then I'd be like, what? It's supposed to rain? I don't remember hearing that.
Tomorrow, apparently, we might get a little rain the day after I turned my sprinkler system off. So got it winterized yesterday. Good timing, right?
We need to mow again. Did you do your last mow?
I thought I'd done my last mow, and I looked at it yesterday, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to have to mow it one more time. I thought I was done.
Finis. Bummer.
We need a good hard freeze, and then I won't have to worry about that anymore. Anyway, glad you're with us this hour, live on Rumble, YouTube, X, and Facebook, of course. And you can tune in on the Odyssey app, the radio, however you get here. Download the podcast, which is very easy, however you download your podcast.
Mark.
Yes, Carl.
Dawn on Facebook wants to know, what's over your shoulder? Or who is over your shoulder?
That would be over my right shoulder, over my left shoulder. President Trump decided to join us in the studio this morning. You can see him back there. Unfortunately, we don't, on these webcams, we don't have the ability to zoom out. Or you'd be able to see him in more of his glory back there.
I'll try to rearrange him so that he's on the other side.
He's pointing the wrong way. He should be on this side, so he's pointing at me. But that hasn't worked out here. So,
but he's pointing to the right.
I picked one of these up in, where was I, Gatlinburg a couple years ago, and there was already one here at the station. So I've got them both in my office, and people tend to get a kick out of that. So this time I decided to bring it into the studio. Maybe I'll leave it for Annie Fry for later today.
Is that supposed to be how tall he really is?
He's 6'4".
Oh, he is real. Okay, yeah, I thought he was over 6 feet, but I didn't know he was 6'4".
What's the matter, Carl?
He's not 6'4".
Well, he also said he weighed how much?
185.
No, he's 6'3 or 6'4". He's a big guy.
I'm looking it up.
And Barron is 6'8".
Yes, Barron. Yeah. Barron is 6'8".
Thank you.
I think it's he's a, like
I see six,
six.
I see 6'3".
Oh, I'm sorry. I was off by an inch. He's 6'3 or 6'4". He's a big guy. I'm 5'10". So
yes.
No, this is not to scale. Behind me here. I've got another one he's got a blue tie on this one. I've got the one with the red tie.
And he's doing the double thumbs up
on
that one.
Exactly. Maybe we'll swap them out during the show here at some point today.
That's a pain.
12 days till Election Day. Have you early voted yet? There have been some long lines. I posted it up on Facebook yesterday. My friend Barry out in Wildwood sent me. He drove around the Daniel Boone Library yesterday morning about 8:45, and the line stretched from what is technically the front door all the way down the hill and around the building to the lower area where the voting is set up to absentee vote. And it was a long, I don't know, if it takes everybody 20, 25 minutes to fill out the ballot, you're going to be there for a while.
On
so
Rumble,
make your plans.
101 Straight Up says, I voted at the Boone Branch Library yesterday just before 10:30. It took 45 minutes to get through and then headed back to his car.
That's not bad.
He had your voter's guide with him. If all he had to do was check the boxes, he could not imagine being unprepared for it.
Thank you for pointing that out. And it is available at 971talk.com. Whether you download that, which will be helpful, or you also go in with your voter guide that the county sends you with your sample ballot, that is, it's not a guide, it's just a sample ballot, you can see how the wording is on there. You can pre-fill that thing out and take it in with you as well, if it makes it easier for you. But if you've got to go in and read it cold, it's going to take a while, folks. I'll just tell you that. All right, we're going to get to our top stories here right now. We got Brent Buchanan coming up at about 6:22.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess.
Yeah, that's her answer to not having an answer. I don't have an answer. I want to study it because I'm kind of a nerd.
Donald Trump has always loved this country.
I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country. This country with the proper leadership can go on to become what it once was.
Wow. That was Donald Trump circa 1990, maybe 1990, maybe the 1980s.
I think that one's 83.
It was a long time ago. And he was already talking about MAGA way back then. Beautiful ad they put out.
We have cut the flow of immigration by over half. In fact, the numbers I saw most recently, illegal immigration.
But if
is
it was
low,
that easy on, with that finish. Executive me, action, why not do it in 2022, 2023?
It's a good question. It's a fair question, don't you think? She has no answer. And even her fellow Democrats are ripping her this morning for this long town hall she did yesterday on friendly CNN and still didn't talk about any policies.
I know of one story that's been pitched to a major newspaper and to me, and for all I know to many others, that I don't believe is true. But if it's true, as I said yesterday, it would end Donald Trump's campaign.
Yeah. Like, that's Mark Halpern talking. Like, everybody wants an October surprise 2 weeks out from the election. And he's talking about everybody shopping these stories around to all of the media. All kinds of different allegations that always come out 2 weeks before the election. There's also one floating out there regarding Kamala Harris that would potentially end her candidacy, if it was true. But obviously her hardcore supporters would vote for her anyway. I don't know if it's true, and I'm certainly not going to repeat it on the radio, not knowing if it's true or not, but it is the season. I think it's interesting to hear Halpern. He's the one that went on Tucker Carlson recently and said he thinks there will be violence in the streets if Trump wins. Like, not just the day after the election or the day after the election is decided, but for a couple of years. Because,
well, I agree with them. I think
there
will be
psychotic.
I wholeheartedly believe. I mean, we saw what happened with BLM. When the left gets angry, they don't just complain about it on social media like conservatives tend to do. They go to the streets. They burn down gas stations like the 7-Eleven here in downtown St. Louis. Yeah. They break into businesses that have done absolutely nothing to deserve that.
And they claim that it's Donald Trump who wants to use the military against citizens if they were to protest. The truth is very different. And yesterday, and if you're a Democrat listening to this, listen to what RFK Jr. said about what it is the Democrats have done, not Donald Trump.
Is that the Biden-Harris administration has done something 2 weeks ago that has never been done in American history, which is to send, exactly, lethal force, to send a directive to the Pentagon, changing the law to make it legal for the U.S. military to be used to use lethal force against American citizens on American soil. And technically, now it's legal for the U.S. military, under this directive, it will become legal for the U.S. military to shoot and kill Americans who engage in political protests because they disagree with policies in the White House. I'm not making this up. Any of you can look it up. This is a Democratic initiative. This did not come during the Trump administration. This did not come from Donald Trump. It came from the Democratic Party. And that's why I left the Democratic Party.
Wow. That was preceding Trump's speech at that Turning Point event yesterday.
Which was huge, by the way.
And I'd not heard that. But disturbing, because it pretty much tells you, whatever the Democrats accuse you of, they've already done or they are doing. That's pretty much how they work. Alinsky's rules rule for sure. Coming up, we'll talk to Brent Buchanan about President Biden calling, in fact, for Donald Trump to be locked up this week. We'll be back in just a minute.
He said politically lock him out. That is what he was referring to.
Well, he first said twice, lock him up. So when he said lock him up, he meant...
Is that what I'm saying? He said to the... Exactly. He clarified himself. He wanted to make sure that things were put into context. He wanted to make sure that... not just New Hampshire folks that were there were going to see it, but also the Americans who are watching and pay attention to what the president is saying. He wanted to put it into context. And he himself, this is not me, this is the president himself going back to explain to say that he was talking about politically.
Come on, folks, that's for real. You heard the words come out of his mouth, but that's not what he meant. According to Corinne Jean-Pierre, trying to tie herself in circles, he meant we need to politically lock him up. The same day, Kamala Harris said he was a threat to democracy again, putting a target on his back. They don't stop with the rhetoric, and to me, it speaks a little bit to some panic on the left. We got Brent Buchanan with us this morning, political analyst, GOP pollster, and with the Signal Group president. We appreciate that. Brent, how are you?
Good morning.
Hey, what's your reaction? Is this a nothing burger? The President Biden saying this, or is he hurting Kamala Harris more than he's helping her out there on the path?
Well, I think poor old Joe probably didn't even know what he said in the first place. Yeah. So we got to take that into account. But this was his closing messaging in the 2022 midterms. And when he came out with it, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought there's nobody who thinks our democracy is under threat. Or at minimum, this is just a dog whistle to say Donald Trump. So don't vote for Republicans because of Donald Trump. And by God, if it wasn't an effective message to the audience it was intended for in the 2022 election. And we didn't even include the phrase threats to democracy in our top issue question that entire cycle because we thought it was stupid and that it was unnecessary. And that just shows how easy it is for us to get into our bubbles of I believe this and therefore probably everybody is similar to this. And it's hard to imagine somebody believing something that wasn't even talked about 6 months prior to when it came out. And I just would challenge Republicans to don't discount what Democrats are doing because we think it's ridiculous or outrageous. There is a purpose they're saying it. We're just not the audience for it.
Yeah, well, that's best. CNN was certainly the audience for it yesterday. What are your polls showing from Signal in terms of how tight this race is? I mean, I think I heard Fox News was reporting on a poll this morning, a Wall Street Journal poll, that showed President Trump up 47, 45 nationally? But really, we know it's the battleground states that count, right?
It is the battleground states, but... The Senate states also matter, and the House congressional districts matter.
Yes.
And so there's dozens upon dozens of races that really matter and have a lot of spending going into them right now. But if we're talking specifically about the presidential race, I mean, I think it comes down to the three Rust Belt states. And the reason I believe that is if you look at Arizona, Biden winning Arizona was an anomaly. He hit something that when we were working for the Trump campaign as their pollsters in 2020, dove the senior ceiling. And that was they just old voters really could not stand how Donald Trump talked about the COVID pandemic and how he downplayed it when they felt their lives were at threat. So it just created an odd scenario because of the pandemic that we lost Arizona, but we're going to win it this time. I would say the same thing for Georgia, but the threats to democracy message. And abortion were probably bigger problems in Georgia in 20 and 22. They're less so now. So we'll win Georgia, North Carolina is strongly trending Donald Trump's way. So that really locks out any path for Kamala Harris, except she has to run the table on all three Rust Belt states in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And I would say that the state she has the best shot at of those three is Pennsylvania. I mean, it's huge. It's Philadelphia. It has these four counties outside of Philadelphia that if they were their own state, they would be a larger population than 15 other states in the country.
Wow.
They're highly suburban, highly educated, highly affluent, all words that are not good for Republicans when I'm describing those demographics.
Wow. Well,
I have a hard time believing anyone's going to have their minds changed at this point with these rallies. You think it's just about driving people out to the polls, making sure they're actually voting, in particular in those swing states?
Oh, 100%. Go find me a persuadable voter.
Yeah.
The person probably has some kind of illness. And this is all about persuasion to turnout, not persuasion.
Yeah.
So as we hear the rallies on the right and the left, the other side thinks we're absolutely insane for saying the things that are being said, because we're not the audience for those. And so there's a large swath of voters that are low propensity, so they don't always turn out. They're low information. I mean, it's hard to believe for those of us who wake up and listen to or talk on radio in the morning that there are people who do not consume news, but there are tens of millions of Americans that do not consume news at all in any form or fashion. And those folks are going to begin to tune in over the next 13 days.
That's frightening. Brett Buchanan with the Signal, the polling company. We appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you all.
You bet. Yeah, those are the people they're targeting. So even though we're not buying her message, they're very targeted and specific and intentional with what they're doing here. Coming up, we'll get to our buddy Tom Ackerman in studio. Maybe talk a little bit of blues and some baseball. We'll be right back.
I really don't. You know, that second quarter, you know, I sat in silence and we were figuring out what we had to figure out. And I came back and I just knew we weren't going to lose this game. Not on homecoming, not today, not like this. We weren't going to lose.
You're emotional. What brings you to tears?
Oh, I am emotional. I am. You know, Mizzou means so much to me. You know, the first six games, you know, they haven't gone the way I wish they would have in a lot of ways. And to come out here the first drive and get hurt and to be down, to think I'm not going to come back in the game and then find a way. And we just manifest it. We get it done. We fight, we fight, we fight, and we win. It's just, I'm emotional right now.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Great interview by Brady Cook there after the game last week. And now, are there still questions about his health, Tom?
Yeah, that was from ESPN on the field after the game. What an incredible story we talked about on Monday, coming back from the hospital and putting his uniform back on and telling coach he's going to play and then leading him on a 95-yard drive. Actually, a couple of drives, but that 95-yarder is this epic, classic, like storybook, movie-type stuff. No, I think it's not good for Brady. So I was in Columbia this week. I went to Mizzou Tuesday just to check up on the team as they get ready to play Alabama.
Right.
And I could tell, covering the NFL and injuries, reading what the coach says, like reading body language, and when he started talking about Brady, and he said, you know, I'm not going to talk about injury status until the SEC report comes out Wednesday night. And someone asked, is he going to be at practice? He said, yeah, he goes, define at. And they said, is he going to participate in practice? He said, I wouldn't say he's participating. So that gave me an indication that ankle is probably not good. If they're closing practice off to the media and they don't want anyone to see, and they're saying he's probably not going to participate in practice. So it officially came out last night that he is doubtful for the game against Alabama. And that usually means he's not going to play. So if he has a bad ankle injury, who knows how long that'll be. They'll go with Drew Pine as his replacement. And we'll just see what happens. But if it's bad for Brady, you know, if he's good enough to go, he'll go, obviously. I mean, the guy came back from the hospital. One note is that had that game been on the road against Auburn, they would not have been able to pull that off. Like, they can't take the guy to the hospital
and
on the road
back.
And get him back. Yeah. Like, they had all the vehicles ready and everything to get him there. It's an awesome story. So Mizzou will be up against it, though, against Alabama. If they don't have Brady Cook, then, you know, they're in big trouble. I mean, Alabama's got two losses. They absolutely can't lose another game this year or they will be out of the playoffs. So they are desperate to win and they'll have to play great. It's going to be a big challenge for Mizzou Saturday.
If he could come back in this game, why wouldn't he be able to play this weekend? Unless, well, I mean, if he was injured, he was injured.
But what did
but
he
they let
gotten,
him play to finish the homecoming
maybe
game.
Maybe coming back actually ended up hurting his ankle even more,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like he got the shot to get him through.
We don't know what the treatment was to get him, you know, what sort of shot they gave him to kill the pain. But,
yeah,
you know, that's that can get worse. I mean, and also, you know, once that wears off, the swelling, the inflammation, who knows what exactly is going on in the ligaments? I mean, that is a very difficult injury to come back from, especially if it's a high ankle sprain. Lateral ankle, which is like what Robbie Avila has for Slew, and he's actually practicing now, is different than a high ankle. High ankle is very difficult to come back from, if that's the case. But again, they keep this very much covered now in the SEC. They don't explain exactly the injury. They just list whether he's available or not, and they're listing him as doubtful. That doesn't sound very good to me.
You think he'll be out for, let's just assume he's out for the Alabama game, you think he'll be out for weeks?
It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. You know, I think you just don't know the extent of the injury until they describe it officially. You know, hear a lot of rumors and things like that, but they've got to give it the official statement. So it's tough, you know, it's tough, and Drew Pine will just have to play well, and Mizzou's going to have to run the ball effectively. But mostly, if you're going to beat Alabama, your defense has got to show up. Alabama's offense has been not great, and their defense hasn't been that great. It's just not a buttoned-up Alabama team like the Nick Saban teams. They've really struggled, and there's a lot of heat on Alabama to be good. I mean, Kalen DeBoer is getting a lot of heat. I mean, if you really take a step back and look at their season, you know, they did win at Wisconsin, which was impressive, but they were up 28-0 on Georgia. Georgia came back on them and almost beat them,
right,
which tells me a lot about Georgia, but they did beat Georgia. But then they lose at Vanderbilt, which is a bad loss. I don't care how good Vanderbilt is. Alabama should never lose to Vanderbilt, and they lost it. Then they barely beat South Carolina at home. They had to scramble at the end. Then they go to Tennessee, their rival, and they lose. So Alabama's wobbling a little bit. They must win this game Saturday, and I think that's trouble for Missouri.
Yeah.
But Missouri is the same thing. I mean, it's basically an elimination game for Mizzou. If they lose this game, they're in big trouble for the college football playoff. If they win it, it changes everything. So you'll see a desperate Mizzou team, too. And, you know, I will say it again. Best player on the field is Luther Burden. Second best player on the field is Ryan Williams. He's ridiculously talented. 17-year-old kid playing for Alabama right now. Wide receiver. Unreal.
Wow.
I mean, he's unbelievable. But Burden is the guy. I mean, if you can get the ball in his hands, let him run it, let him catch it and run, you just never know.
Hey, you know, I know that a lot of the focus on right now for us has been the fact that Election Day is 12 days away on November 5th. But on November 4th is Mizzou's first basketball game, right, of the season?
They'll be all right. They'll be okay. You know, they're picked 13th in the SEC. SEC's loaded. Really, really nice.
They really are.
You know, the league is really good. And, you know, your guy Calipari's now at Arkansas. They're going to be good. Kentucky will be good. Alabama's picked by most to be one or two in the country. So it'll be a climb. But I think Missouri, you know, they can only get better after going 0-4 in the SEC last year. But he's brought in, Dennis Gates has brought in a very nice transfer class, really good recruiting class, one of the best in the country. It's just a matter of getting them all to gel together. I think that SLU will be very good. They're going to play tomorrow night against Maryville, kind of a little warm-up exhibition game again for them, and then they start the season on the road.
And their star's still injured, right?
He's actually practicing.
Robbie? Is he?
So
okay.
Josh Schertz told me that Robbie might actually get, if everything progresses today, he might get some minutes tomorrow in that game tomorrow night, 12 to 18 minutes, which is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like, when he's running the offense, wait till you see this guy. I mean, he looks like he's kind of, you know,
an accountant.
Rolled off the couch. He's 6'10". He's got the goggles, you know, just kind of, you know, doesn't look like the most super athletic guy. And then he's just firing passes, pocket passes, hitting threes, driving to the basket. He's a special talent.
Well, what's going on with Robert Thomas? Because now he's out
for at least six weeks. Man, that's the thing about hockey that's so dangerous is these pucks are flying at 100 miles an hour, and he tried to block a shot in the third period, and it hit him right where you don't want it to hit you, right on the ankle, broke it.
Ugh.
So that's at least 6 weeks. That means they reevaluate him in 6 weeks. That's a tough one. You can't replace Robert Thomas. It's going to take a lot of people stepping up their game to replace a scorer like that.
Wow, that's rough. I know we probably got to let you get out of here.
Yeah, time for me to go a sportscast. You guys are great. Go Hoosiers. I'll be there Saturday.
Go Hoosiers.
I forgot to mention it again.
Good luck, man. Enjoy ESPN game. That's going to be fantastic to have them there for the pregame. That's a big deal. If you're a fan of a team, to have them come to town
means
that's like the biggest game of the country that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't get drunk and then... Or do gummies.
Yeah.
Like, who did that? Was it Deion did it a couple weeks ago?
What?
Deion Sanders?
Yeah, he was there because they did... No, it was somebody else.
Oh, okay.
That showed up hammered.
The coach?
No, it was a former player.
Oh, okay.
I'm losing interest in the story because it's changed about five times.
I don't care about college football.
Don't show up drunk because you might become famous if you do something dumb like that. All right, coming up, we are going to get to In Other News with Ethan in just a few minutes. Next hour, we are going to talk about Amendment 5. Between now and Election Day, we are going to go over all these amendments over and over again. This week, we've already talked about Amendment 3, which is the abortion amendment. We're a big no on that. You've got my voter guide at 971talk.com. Next hour, about 7:35, we're going to talk to Dr. Timothy Faber about Amendment 5. This is the casino at the Lake of the Ozarks that the entire state has to vote on it. Why do they need it? Why is it important? Why are they doing this now? Do the people at the lake really support it? We'll get to all that coming up.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Ron Ely, he's best known for playing Tarzan in the 1960s NBC television series Tarzan. He passed away peacefully at his home, actually on September 29th at the age of 86. But the news is just now coming out about his death. His daughter, Kristen, confirmed the news to TMZ, stating that he was surrounded by family at the time of his passing.
Wow, did he do anything after Tarzan?
He played Doc Savage in the 70s.
Okay.
And like hosted Miss Universe or something.
In the 80s.
So Tarzan to Miss Universe.
Yeah.
So Ron Ely, they used to show those before wrestling on Sunday mornings on Channel 11.
He's a good looking guy too, man. I remember that watching that show.
I said that earlier.
Rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we joked if the chimp was there. But
Cheetah.
Whitney Houston fans are set for a special release as Sony Music's Legacy Recordings, in collaboration with her estate, debuts Whitney Houston, the concert for A New South Africa, that's Durban, on November 8th. This marks the first time fans can own a live album and concert film of Houston's iconic 1994 performance.
Wow.
So,
well, I mean, it was great. I'm not a big enough fan to want to go buy that, but...
I bet there's plenty of people that will, though.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Tons of those.
She does have. She had a great voice.
One of the best.
Even if you don't like her style of music, you have to appreciate her skill as an artist.
Yep. Goldfish crackers are temporarily rebranding as Chilean sea bass crackers to appeal to adult snackers, including millennials and Gen Z.
It's going to taste the same.
I know. Yeah. It sounds gross. That doesn't sound appetizing
to me. No, it doesn't.
I'd rather eat gold. And they still have the little fish that looks like a cartoon character. It does. You got to change that, too, to like a more mature fish.
I don't know how that sounds like a mature name.
Chilean sea bass.
This must be a joke. It is a joke.
It is a joke, but it doesn't sound... I would like to eat some Chilean sea bass crackers.
Because goldfish sound like they're for kids, and an adult would order the Chilean sea bass.
No.
It's a dumb joke.
I understand it's a joke,
You mean you wouldn't order the carp? I don't get that.
Well, you're not going to name... Carp crackers.
Basically what a goldfish is a carp.
It's about the same as the Chilean sea bass.
If you want to get some of these, you can get them they started yesterday. You can buy two bags for $7.38 at ChileanSeaBassCrackers.com. If they sell out, they're going to start dropping them just randomly until October 30th.
Go ahead and buy a bag, Kim, please.
Let's not. And say we did.
I'll just buy a regular bag.
Do they have pretzel ones or just the
I just saw the regular cheddar.
Are they going to come in the box? Can you get the big box full of them?
No? I didn't say. It was just the bags.
So I'm just going to throw this out there that I know those have all those artificial dyes. Okay. I'm not saying Easton doesn't sometimes eat them, but I'm just saying I'm starting to try to monitor what I'm feeding him more. Because
right.
Stay away from the rainbow ones, though.
Stay away from pretty much all food that you find at the grocery store. A lot of it has the chemicals and the artificial dyes.
And extra sugar and salt.
Yes.
So Crocs released a new line of pet boots yesterday as part of Croctober and Croc Day, and they sold out online within hours. The boots, available in green and pink and priced at $50, came in three sizes and were designed to match glow-in-the-dark clogs for humans, which were still available as of Wednesday evening. While the pet boots are no longer in stock, you can find them on eBay for resale.
Yeah.
Because people do that.
Yeah. You got to wear them in sport mode if you wear them, though.
First right? of all, Croctober, really?
It's kind of catchy.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Whatever you could do.
How are they still around after all this time?
Oh, my God. Yeah. People love those things, man.
Are they actually that comfortable?
They can.
Yeah, they're not comfortable.
They're not cute, but I have heard they're comfortable.
Nurses love them.
I'd say my friend swears by them.
They can't be good for your feet, for sure. But go ahead.
Sotheby's will be holding the first ever auction of artwork created by a robot during its Digital Art Day event. It's later this month. The auction will feature AI God. It's a portrait of a computer scientist, Alan Turing, created by AI Duh, or Da, a humanoid robot artist. Turing, known for his role in cracking the German Enigma code and developed the foundational Turing test for artificial intelligence, is depicted in the 64 by 90.5-inch mixed-media painting. Sorry. The artwork is estimated to sell for $120,000 to $180,000, with the auction opening on October 31st.
A computer-generated photo.
It's a painting. It's mixed media.
Whatever.
Come on, Mark. You know you want to spend your $120,000. It looks like 90,000 Coulson brand tabletop fire pits are being recalled after multiple injuries were reported. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission issued the recall on October 17th, advising consumers to stop using the dispose of the fire pits immediately. The CPSC received 31 reports of flame jetting and escaping flames, which caused 19 burn injuries.
Oh, jeez.
So if you've got one of those little things, get rid of it. Because apparently, they're saying, I guess the fuel is alcohol, and when you're pouring it in, it just ignites
it just
everywhere.
Off. Yeah, thank you.
That seems bad.
You're right.
And NASA's Artemis III mission spacesuits, designed in collaboration with luxury brand Prada and Axiom Space, were unveiled at the International Astronautical Congress in Milan. So if you want to see what they look like, go check them out. They look like just
Prada spacesuits.
Oh, yeah. They look
they
like regular spacesuits.
$1 million, but they cost $1 million.
So they really need designer spacesuits?
Yeah.
Come on.
Apparently.
Yes.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Amendment 5, the Lake of the Ozarks Casino.
Get more at 971talk.com.